working the right wing side in the corner, Craig Smith. Now the puck is played in front, and the score! Nick Bonino puts it away. After all of that, Bonino buries it. And that, folks, after winning well into the third period, is the Hermitage's first goal of the game. And it's Nick Bonino with his 12th. Center, dumped down to the right wing corner. Right in front, Johansson! Oh, he was stopped there by Jones. Now Yarncroke for Johansson. What a quick chill up there. Ryan Johansson right in front of Martin Jones. Yarncroke given down low. Johansson tries to stuff it around. They score! Predators make it 2-0. A power play goal at 12:59. Berg has it to Yarncroke, breaking in against Carlson. Yarncroke scores! Into the empty net. 3-1 Nashville. And time runs out. The Predators' spectacular night by UC Saros. And the Predators win this one with three third period goals. 3-1.
Good Wednesday morning. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5. The game, Nashville Predators winners last night 3-1 over the San Jose Sharks. Of course, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson producing here on the show. We've got a big Wednesday planned for you. Again, we'll give away another $100 Moments Piece Salon and Day Spa gift card. We'll be doing that, of course, every single day this week and next week. We've already given away two of those. So by my math, I believe that means we have eight left. I'm not good at the math, Derek, but if there are 10 total and we've given away two, that means there are eight left, I believe.
Yeah. If you got 10 toes, they cut off one. They cut off two. How many you got?
Dude, I'll get you a toe. I'll get you a toe by 3 o'clock this afternoon with nail polish. I'll get you a toe.
There you go. Boom.
Do either one of you get that reference? No.
I know. I was going to fake it, but
that
no.
One These are in my head.
It's all right. You guys start talking about stuff sometime, and I'm like, what are y'all talking about?
That one in my head.
Like, we're all about diversity here on the show. Different experiences through life and different understanding. Now, that's The Big Lebowski, the greatest movie of all time. I'll get you a toe. I'll get you a toe by 3 o'clock this afternoon with nail polish. You guys are still looking at me crazy.
I know that movie now.
Big Lebowski is so good. Oh, it's so good. Calmer than you are, Derek. Mm. Actually, nobody's calmer than you. You're like one of the calmest dudes I've ever met in my life. Preds win 3-1. And really kind of a, you know, listen, UC Saros was exceptional last night for most of the game. And the first and second period, the Preds had a bunch of opportunities in the first period on the power play, could not deliver, and it was starting to look again like one of those nights on special teams where you just weren't going to get anything accomplished. They then went 17 minutes in the second period with one shot. They got a shot off, I think, in the first minute of the second period and didn't get another one for like 17 minutes. So just an atrocious second period that ended with quite the flurry as we had like 16 penalties in like the final minute and a half. Roman Josi really upset about some stuff going on, and he gets a penalty, and then like Austin Watson and Hamus and all these other guys getting fights at the end of the second period. And I think that really sparked everybody, because in the third period, the offense came to life. They scored two power play goals. Nick Bonino now leads the team with 12 goals. He gets on the board first. Mikael Granlund back in the lineup, and he had a helper there. And Cali Yarncroke scored with the empty net, and they win 3-1. A really nice third period, and UC Saros was exceptional last night. More importantly, Derek, you've been asking all week, what is this team? What are they? And for the time being, it does feel like they have turned the tides a bit after the long losing streak and the really poor play there for almost a month. Now 5-1-2 in their last eight games, and slowly creeping up the standings back into the playoff picture, sort of doing what we expected this team to do after a long losing streak.
Yeah, that's the beauty of having a sport where there's 82 games played and not 16, or 100 games, or, you know, basketball, I think 82 too as well, that you can go on sort of a 7-game losing streak as the Predators did, and look really bad, and then slowly dig your way out of the ditch you dug yourself. And that's what they're doing. They've won two in a row against the Devils and the Sharks. That game was an interesting game last night because they had their shots. Believe me, they had their shots on goal to score goals.
Oh, they had a breakaway. They had a penalty shot.
Both teams.
Yeah.
And both goalies for what, 90% of the game, somewhere around there, stood on their head. I mean, both goalies made some fantastic saves. UC Soros, the San Jose Sharks goalie, they stood on their head.
Martin Jones,
yeah. And they played the way you would expect, you know, two good goalies to play. And then it just kind of broke open for the Nashville Predators. Did Bonino score the first goal? I believe he did.
Yes.
Yeah, Bonino scored the first goal on a excellent pass.
Granlin and Yarncroke on the assist.
It was an excellent pass to Bonino. And then Johansson, you know, he was like the guy underneath the rim just fighting for the rebound.
Exactly,
and then finally gets it in.
Yeah.
He's fighting for the puck. He shoots it on goal. He's still fighting it.
He's throwing elbows with the rebound, fighting with guys,
and then all of a sudden the puck squirts out, and he's still there, and he shoves it in.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, they reviewed it, because they thought it was goalie interference somewhat, but they reviewed it, and was deemed no goalie interference. And they played a gritty game. That was one of those games where, you know, you knew you were going to have to fight. And whoever got the first goal, it was going to be a sign of relief. And then the game can kind of get started after that. Just so happened, for us, Bonino gets the first goal. And it kind of snowballs from there. The Sharks got a goal late when they were a 6-5 advantage.
They had an empty net. Yeah.
They got one late. And then the Preds got the empty netter.
Yeah, really it was a 2-0 game.
Yeah, 40-something, you know. So, I enjoyed it because it was a good game. They have continued to show good defense. Now they just got to pick up the scoring a little bit.
It's funny that you say you enjoyed it because it was gritty. I do agree with that. It's nice to see the defense play well against a team that can put up some goals when it needs to, San Jose. But it was, in my opinion, largely uneventful and fairly boring and terrible the first two periods. And then the fight happened. And then all the craziness breaks loose. And there's like 30 minutes of penalties handed out, you know, with like 2 seconds to go in the second period. And it felt like when Roman Josi, about 30 seconds earlier, had been cross-checking Goudreau in the slot, I think, a couple of times, three times according to the referee, three bleeping times according to the referee. And Josi was pissed. Mm-hmm. You don't see him lose. You don't see him get angry like that very often. And I think there, you could argue that I would imagine that the locker room after all that melee happened was pretty fired up. And I do think, to your point, I think the third period was outstanding to watch. It was very entertaining. And especially when, of course, your team is the one that's putting up numbers and scoring. Nick Bonino, again, with his 12th goal, now leads the team. He's on pace for 33-34 goals this year. That would be a career high by a large margin. Mm-hmm. Not what necessarily he was brought here to do.
No.
He's a great penalty killer, great third-line centerman, excellent in the faceoff dot, but just now he's scoring goals and leading the team. He's been great all year. Cali Yarncroke already has outscored his goal total from last year and is on pace with a .72 points per game mark, is nearly double what he was on pace for last year, and for the highest of his career, certainly helps when you're playing on the top two lines like he has been all season. But he's been asked to do more, and he has delivered as well. You know, again, UC Saros, though, I think first star of the game last night, excellent performance by him. Couple of breakdowns on defense, won the penalty shot, which again was a really kind of cheeky call. It was pretty cheap, but they gave it to him, and UC was great. And then the other sort of pseudo breakaway on the shorthanded attempt where the Sharks found themselves one-on-one against Saros, who just made a spectacular save with his glove to the left, and he was just outstanding. So, listen, the goaltending situation is going to be fascinating to watch because right now Saros is playing really well, but Pekka's coming off three good starts as well. It's a good place to be for the Preds. Again, most importantly, 5-1-2 in their last eight and picking up points. That is 12 out of what, 14? 12 out of 16 possible points, and now 33 points, and now I believe up a spot in the standings in the Central Division. So, good quality win. Now you get a quick little road trip up to Buffalo and back on Thursday, and you're back into town, and you got a couple more home games, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, what is this team, Derek? I think, you know, for the time being, they're back on track. And that's what you want to see if you're a Preds fan.
Yeah, you hope. You know, they're starting to play. I think they've settled in to the not having the Victor Arvidsson. I think everyone is settled in their place right now. And guys that are that have been asked to step up, they're stepping up. Guys that had played well, they're asking that, you know, the coach is asking for them to do a little bit more, and guys are pulling their weight on the team, and you know that has to happen when somebody like Victor Arvidsson goes down, and you're trying to, you know, replace him, but they're playing good defense right now, they're hustling to the puck, they're playing physical. They're doing the little things that they were not doing in the 7-game losing streak. That's going to continue to win games for them. Now, I mean, still a long season, and I'm sure there's going to be some ebb and flows, but right now they're proving that they're sort of in their stride right now, even though it's only 2 games. They've only won 2 games in a row. But, you know, since that slide, what, they won 5 or 6? So they're itching their way back up in the standings, and you know that's all you want is to put yourself in a position at the halfway mark where you're in the playoffs, or you know, one of the better teams in the National Hockey League.
You know, you mentioned Johansson sort of rebounding. It felt like a guy, like a Rodman style play, right? Where he just wanted it more than everybody else on that goal. And I do think that Ryan Johansson, as you know, we know that there's a playoff Ryan Johansson and a regular season Ryan Johansson. Last year, it was more playoff Ryan Johansson all season long. I think this year, you could say, why is it that we see that fire and that emotion occasionally? Because I know he's a chill dude, right? Like, he's a relaxed, chill guy. It's just not sort of his style. He's pretty laid back. He's got a very dry sense of humor. And that's just sort of his personality. If he had that level of intensity, I feel like every time he's out there, that dude would be unstoppable. How big he is, and how skilled he is, and how fast he is, how good of a skater he is. Mm-hmm. I do think that if for $8 million a year, and I don't think this is, you know, breaking ground here, but Ryan Johansson could be, I think he could be, whatever, 8, 10, 12% better as far as his season goes at the end of the year. I think that's the case almost always, because when he is like pissed off for greatness, he's almost unstoppable. And you saw it with that goal where you see the emotion and the energy and the push and the fire. And it's like, dude, like I know he's not wired that way. Mm-hmm. And I get that. But man, if you could see that every shift, holy cow, he would be so, so good. Yeah. And he already is very, very good. I'm not trying to knock the guy here.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where, you know, he's good. And he's going to be good, and he's going to do some wonderful things. But if you poke him, if you get him upset, then he takes it that extra level. He's like that big
defensive. He gets triggered, yeah.
Yeah, he's like that big defensive lineman that he plays well, and it's hard to stop him. Don't say anything that's gonna you know, piss this dude off. Right. Just let him do his job. Don't make him mad.
Nobody likes you.
Exactly.
Was that the quote from him when he was it Corey Perry from the Ducks, where he was in the faceoff circle and he's like, dude, nobody likes you. That's my favorite.
But guys like that, you just let them do their job and don't get them upset, because when they get upset or they just feel pushed, then they're going to elevate it even higher, and then it's virtually unstoppable. They're virtually unstoppable, and Johansson is one of those guys that he's going to play good just about every night, and he's going to be that star guy. But man, oh man, if you start to poke him, man, this guy can go even higher. This guy can play even better, and he's already playing really good, and that's the scary part about it.
Yep.
You know, he's for some reason, some guys just need, they're already really good, but in order to get that extra, you got to poke them a little bit. Yep. You got to say something to them or do something to them to get them going.
And everybody's motivated in a different way. It's okay for that to be the case. When we come back, a huge piece of news in the NHL yesterday, in the Central Division, a coach getting fired. Is it a part of this overwhelming sort of reckoning that's taking place in the NHL right now, We'll let you know. And I'd like to. I know it's early in the morning, but I'd like to get into a more nuanced and difficult conversation about sort of where we are as a society and sports and all this different things that are happening, because the NHL is going through something very serious right now. And so we'll get in and explain that, and we'll look at what happened with the Dallas Stars yesterday. We've got a $100 Moments Piece gift card. We'll give you that question when we return. Again, you need to know the Twitters at 1025_MD. So we got a lot to do today. Don't go anywhere, folks. Don't go anywhere, folks. Morning Drive, ESPN 1025 again.
I was made aware of a situation over the weekend involving a ploy of the Dallas Stars organization. Upon collecting all the information and executing an internal investigation, including speaking with ownership, management, and general counsel, it was determined that there was a material act of unprofessionalism contrary to the values and standards held by the Dallas Stars organization. It is very clear this cannot be tolerated. And therefore, we have relieved Jim Montgomery of his duties immediately.
Jim Neal there, the GM of the Dallas Stars, firing his head hockey coach, Jim Montgomery, yesterday. They were 7 games over 500. They were in fourth place in the Central Division. They were a team fighting for a playoff spot, and it came out of nowhere. Now, I think the first thing, welcome back, by the way, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. The first thing when you hear inappropriate conduct, inappropriate behavior, and an incident, you immediately start thinking about all the stuff that's been going on in the NHL. Bill Peters for Calgary has been, I think he resigned due to a lot of things. There were some assault allegations when he was at Carolina, a racial slur allegation when he was in the AHL. You know, Don Cherry, famously, right? We talked about him at TSN getting relieved after 4 decades plus being on television with his sort of inappropriate behavior. Mike Babcock at Toronto has been fired. A lot of talk about, there's an assistant who's been placed on administrative leave for the Chicago Blackhawks, Mark Crawford, who was also cited as having some issues when he was the Kings head coach. It does not appear on the surface, Derek, that this particular firing is related to that. But there does feel like there is this reckoning happening in the NHL. Because, again, Jim Neal yesterday, the GM for the Dallas Stars, said it's not related to any players, current or past. So if it's not related to players, then it doesn't necessarily fall into the same category. But inappropriate conduct is inappropriate conduct. And if people are being held to higher standards today, that's a good thing overall. I just want to have a conversation, though. And if you guys want to get involved, the text line's open, 615-737-1025, as well as the phone line. Same number there, folks. So you can call in or shoot us a text. I am fascinated with how we as a society are dealing with how we evolve. Because if you watch Junction Boys, right? Mm-hmm. Bear Bryant, college football, Texas A&M in like the 50s. I'm pretty sure you were treated differently as a player at Michigan State than the guys in the 1950s were treated. I'm pretty sure the guys today at Alabama or Tennessee or Georgia or wherever are treated differently than you were treated in the 90s. And I don't think that's any different in the hockey world. So I think there has to be a conversation with how do we deal with our flaws in the past and maybe correct that behavior and evolve as a society. Sure, maybe it makes us softer, but it makes us better, while also acknowledging that, like, you can't really do anything about what the norm was 25 years ago or even 15 years ago or 50 years ago. How do we reconcile those things? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, to me, you just use common sense. That's how you get past all of that. Obviously, you know, of course, things have changed, and things that were acceptable, in 1993, 94, 95, 96, 97, you know, my years in college, isn't acceptable anymore. Things that coaches said back then probably would make a kid cry and run home to his mother right now. No, seriously.
No, I agree with you.
Seriously. Or have a kid go into, you know, the AD's office or call his mom and dad call the AD. So, yes, things have changed. But I just think if coaches use common sense, then the things that happened then will not happen now. That's just the way it is. You got to be hard on players, Yes, you have to instill discipline, but you can be hard on players and instill discipline without crossing that line, without, you know, making a guy or girl feel as if, you know, you are singling them out or you are demeaning them in any way. Yes, there's going to be some tough verbiage in there, but you got to know when enough is enough.
There's really delicate lines.
Exactly.
Right? Like when it's when it crosses over into abusive versus exactly. motivational, right?
Absolutely.
And then there's also other lines where it's crossed over into being too sensitive and too politically correct and too this and too that from being respectful, right? Hey, mm-hmm. I'm being respectful because I respect people and I respect people's feelings and I respect how they go through life, mental health. Mm-hmm. We are far more knowledgeable about mental health today than we were 5 years, 10 years, 30 years ago. And that's a positive thing. That's a good thing for us as a society to sort of be understanding and working through and understand that, hey, mental health is a very serious issue. Mm-hmm. People, you know, Doug Baldwin, very open about going to therapy. I have no problem telling people that my wife and I go to therapy. It is a positive thing for people. It should be viewed as a positive thing that we are more aware of ourselves mentally. But then there's a line where you get too sensitive, right? Like mm-hmm. at some point you have to say, all right, life's not fair. You got to grow up and deal with the fact that not everybody's going to see things the same way you see them. So there is this, it's a really complicated bunch of lines that can get blurred very easily.
Yeah, they can. I just, you know, it's a two-way street. One, the coaches and administrator individuals got to understand the climate that we're in now. They got to understand that, you know, there's a way that you do things. Yes, you can still be tough. Yes, you can, you know, still do certain, but there's a limit to everything. And right. then the players got to understand that, listen, just because this coach can't say this doesn't mean you push the envelope. Doesn't mean you just disregard and disrespect the coaches or administrative, the people in administrative positions. Because I think sometimes these, you know, young men and young women know you can't say anything, so they tend to push the envelope even further. And then the minute you say something to them, it's like,
well, that's the piece, maybe the PC thing,
exactly.
Maybe. Which, so, again, I hate that crap.
Yeah, but like, that's why I think it takes both parties, and obviously the coaches and ADs and GMs and those that are in high office, they take on the burden of the burden, because it's up to them to know how to whether delegate responsibilities or handle certain situations.
Right.
But it's also, you know, the player got to understand that is a hard job that they do. Anybody that's in that position, that's a hard job. Don't make it even harder by being disrespectful. But first and foremost, it starts with those that are in a position of leadership. And if you show yourself to be a leader that respects, that listens, then I think your players would do the same thing.
Do you think that there's one of the things that hit me yesterday as I was going through, and I don't want to bog everybody down with every single incident from every single one of these coaches. It's just uh-huh. too complicated. Some of them were years ago. Some of them were just a couple years ago. Some of them were 15 years ago. There's also like another whole other issue of like youth hockey in Canada, where there's a culture of sort of this abusive behavior at a youth level, where like 8 and 10 and 12 and 15 year olds are being treated in a certain way. And there's a lot of people that are sort of pushing against that and trying to bring people's stories to light and fight that fight. And that's sort of a different issue. I feel like today, if you were a coach today and it was still like an ongoing thing and you were still acting the same way you were 25 years ago or 20 years ago or 15 years ago, that like no one's going to buy in.
And you shouldn't be coaching.
And you're not going to be coaching. And I think that's where maybe like a Mike Babcock falls into that category. Like he's clearly doing stuff continually. If it's like a single incident that happened 15 years ago and you have evolved as a human being along with the rest of society, I have less problem with like keeping you. Like I feel like firing you is a problem. Like let's go with Laviolette's punch to the head of, mm-hmm. of the guy of Viello on the bench for the Flyers, which happened like almost a decade ago. Listen, it's not a good look. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't do it. You can't do it today. But I also don't think it was that big of a deal in the moment. He was frustrated. He was in a timeout. Don't tell me, by the way. I don't buy for a second that it was accidental. That doesn't even compute with me. But I also don't think it was that big of a deal. You can't do it today.
Exactly.
And so there's this balance where, like, two things have to be true. Where it was wrong that it happened and we wouldn't do it today, but that we're not going to go back and relitigate the past. We can't watch every movie and listen to every song and say, no, we got to rewrite every single lyric to every single song from the 60s because there were some racial overtones or some stuff about women. Or, like, I'm not saying it was right. It's wrong, and we fixed it today, right? Like, we can't say those things today. But we can't go back and re-legislate all of history and say, oh, well, if you said one bad thing 25 years ago, you don't get to have a job anymore.
Putting aside any sexual abuse and...
Yeah, I'm not talking about criminal stuff either, by the way.
Sexual abuse or, you know, verbally abusing a person based upon, you know, their race or whatnot. Let's put that aside. But the lobby thing, you can't have that situation, play it 10 years later and be outraged over
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You just can't.
Exactly. It's been out there forever.
It's, like, been out there forever.
Why
no
today
one
are
said
you upset
anything.
About it? Right.
And no
right.
one, it's been a
I
meme.
Agree.
It's been funny.
I totally
And now
agree.
You can't be like, oh my goodness, the guy should never. No, you can't be outraged now.
If he did it today,
it's a different story.
What we would ask ourselves is, have you been doing it the whole time?
Absolutely.
And that's a different issue, right? Mm-hmm. If you show continual patterns of abusive behavior, then you're just an abusive person, right? Mm-hmm. So I agree. Like, I think it's the Breakfast Club that people had trouble with a couple of years ago or like last year or something. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Marquise, you know the movie Breakfast Club? You're younger.
Yeah.
You've seen Breakfast Club.
Yeah, I know.
There's a few. If you go back and watch Breakfast Club, a great movie for you and me in our childhood.
Oh, I loved it.
Loved it. There's a few things in there that are a little inappropriate that you wouldn't see today, right? Yeah. But, like, I'm not going to go back and rewrite Breakfast Club and reshoot it and make it a whole new movie so that it fits into today's box of what's appropriate or not. Like, we can't do that. So, again, I think there's this. It's a really complicated conversation. I get it. It's good and bad that we are a softer, more polite, more respectful society today. It's good because that's good for people. It also means we'd probably lose a world war if we had to fight one right now. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't, if the Germans invaded France tomorrow, I'm not sure we'd, you know, our military would be exceptional, but like, it's kind of tongue in cheek, so don't take it too seriously here, people. But we are softer. That's fine. And people, you know, that are 65 years old, that are filled with testosterone, want to call us soft, fine. I don't care. Guess what we also are? More respectful and nicer to each other, at least in person. Maybe not on social media. Maybe not on the Twitters.
Never.
So I don't know. There's this balance between the evolution of society and acknowledging that we can't change the past at the same time. And that's why, like you said, Derek, this Lavi clip has been out. People have seen it 100,000 times. It's been out forever. And nobody had a problem with it ever at any point. And the guy who got hit in the head doesn't care.
Nope.
So I don't know. It's complicated. I do think there are very clear lines There are very clear areas where there are lines that are blurred, and sometimes we don't know where those lines are, and it is what it is. We'll get to your phone calls and your texts when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Text line is open, 615-737-1025, as well as the phone lines. We'll get to your calls, and I just noticed this as I pulled up the text line, because we all have access to it, and we can all read it. All of the ones that are, I've just realized this about the text line, boys, that every time we come in here in the morning, all the most recent texts we're going to read are going to be directed at Stillman. So I'm reading like four or five.
Oh, wow.
I'm reading four or five of them that are directed at Stillman because they're like, you know, because it's the last show. Yeah. You know, there's a few text messages in there sitting in the chamber there for Stillman to read. We're talking about the reckoning that's happening in the NHL, and it's sort of something that crosses all sports and really all of society when it comes to how do we treat people, office place, sports, coaching, players, you know, PC stuff, all that stuff. It's a complicated discussion, but it is something that's happening, and the reckoning in the NHL is definitely a real thing as multiple head coaches have been fired. Dallas's head coach, Jim Montgomery, was fired yesterday. It doesn't appear that this is related to abuse of players or treatment of players, but there was, quote, inappropriate conduct, and so that's why he was fired yesterday, sort of out of nowhere. Tim in Clarksville wants to chime in. Tim, what's up, man?
Hey, yeah, so what's up, guys? Good morning. I think it's interesting at the end of the last segment you brought up the military because that's kind of what I wanted to compare it to. I think sports and the military is an interesting comparison when it comes to that PC kind of stuff because obviously 30 years ago when the drill instructors were smacking around the kids getting ready for Vietnam or whatever, it's a lot different than it is now. And I've only been in 10 years in the military, but you can see a big difference even just those 10 years with the kids coming out of boot camp now than to when I came in. And, you know, I'm younger, but I'm more old school, and I kind of wish that it was a little more hard on some of these kids so we weren't so soft, especially in the military, guys that I'm supposed to be fighting next to, theoretically, but it's kind of just how culture is going, and it's something we have to learn to deal with, just like how in sports they're learning to deal with it in the same way.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. And I'll say that, like, it's hard for me to compare almost anything in life to the military. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard for me to do that. I don't have any frame of reference on what it's like to be marching, you know, walking through Afghanistan with, like, nine of your closest buddies trying to keep yourselves alive. Like, that's just a different... That's so different, mm-hmm. like, than anything else in life. It's literally a life and death job. It's you're putting your life on the line for our freedoms, and that's a I don't know, like an NHL locker room is just an office place. It's just an office in America or Canada or Europe or whatever. Like, it's just an office. It's a business. That's far different than the military. I have no frame of reference on that.
Yeah, it is.
Although I do know the Navy SEALs right now are going through their own reckoning on how they've behaved, and there's a lot of stuff going on with the SEALs right now.
Yes, it's different, but in a lot of ways, it's the same. When you start to compare a troop with a team, because they sort of go by the same guidelines, you know.
Very different stakes, though.
Yeah, being accountable to one another, trust, you know, discipline. You know, everyone is in it for the same thing. There's no you try not to have any separate agendas. So, yes, they are different because the stakes are much higher. When you're dealing with service men and women, but a lot of it is the same too. You can be different. You can be the same, but different as well. And, you know, it's hard for us to kind of equate, but when someone, you know, from the military, you know, calls in and say, yeah, you sort of have, they're sort of alike. They're going down the same track,
right,
so to speak. It's just that the stakes are much different on one side than it is the other. But the principles are the same. The foundations are the same.
You're working for the guy next to you.
Exactly. Right? Absolutely. It's all about accountability.
Which is what Vrabel has built in the Titans locker room, right?
Yeah.
That's why we think they're winning in part.
So, you know, there has to be a level of toughness. There has to be, and I'm not talking, toughness isn't running through, you know, let's see how tough you are, you know, let me hit you 100 times. No, it's about being mentally tough. Yeah. Because there are some things that's going to happen. And if you're not prepared for it, then you might cost yourself and your team. It's the same thing with the servicemen and women. There are situations that are going to happen. And if you're not mentally tough, you might cost yourself your life or your team your life.
The stakes are, you know, much thousands higher. Times higher. That's where I find a tough time comparing them. I think you're right. The dynamics are very similar.
Exactly.
A football locker room versus the 101st Airborne or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, there's very similar dynamics at play. The difference is the stakes.
It's like 100 times more, times 100.
It's life and death. And, you know, hey, if you miss a block, you might get yelled at and you get your feelings hurt because a coach yelled at you. And then all of a sudden you might have cost your quarterback a sack, and then your team, the drive stalls, and then you don't score and you don't win a game. And then you go home to your family that night. Mm-hmm. In professional sports, large paychecks as well. Huge bank accounts. Lots of fame and fortune and notoriety and all this other stuff that comes along with it that the military certainly doesn't enjoy, especially when they come home, the way we treat them. But that's why it's so hard for me to compare the military to it. And so maybe I'll be more careful about making a joke about how it's just a tongue-in-cheek joke about how we'd lose World War III. I don't actually think we would. We've got the greatest military in the world. There's no question. And the things that men and women do to keep us safe and free and all that stuff is beyond comprehension sometimes to me. So I don't... That's more difficult to understand. I do think there is an office place, business place societal reckoning that's taking place across all subjects. And in sports, it's about the dynamic between the coach and the player. And in hockey right now, it's about this abusive stuff. Now, I think the stuff that's happening on the youth levels in Canada and in maybe USA Hockey, and apparently USA Hockey, from what I understand, has done a very good job of cleaning up its act, taking care of young kids. Note, you know, the way kids are being handled on the ice and off the ice when they're 8, 10, 12 years old is very different today than it was a long time ago. And USA Hockey's been very good about that, apparently, and apparently Canada is not. And so, again, if all that's on the line is a win or a loss, that's where I go, man, we need to be more respectful of each other and treat each other better. It's hard for me to understand how where that line is when we're talking about the military. Like, that's very different. That life and death is very hard to...
Yeah, it is.
Because if my life's on the line, I'm going to start pushing you harder.
And, you know what I mean? Sometimes like, people... Yeah, but I still think there is still to a... You got to know how to do it and when to do it and who to do it to, so to speak. Because every person, man or girl, man or woman, they're not going to react the same to the same approach.
Right.
You know, one guy might act different than another. One girl might act different from another. It's the same way with sports.
Some people need to be yelled at. Yeah. Some people need to be coddled.
Yeah, you're right. In sports, some people needs to be yelled. They need to be yelled at. Some guys or girls can't take it, and you got to approach them a different way. But that's when it comes to knowing your player.
Yep.
Knowing the person you are coaching. If you know the person you are coaching, you know which buttons you can push.
And if you care about them, right?
Exactly.
If you genuinely care about them, you're going to know where the line is that you've gone
too
far.
And I don't think when you know your players, you know what you can do and what you can't do. I don't think you will ever get in a position where you're abusing that individual.
Yeah,
Because you know the individual. You know what you can do and what you can't do.
So if Mike Vrabel were to grab, like, I'm not using any particular name for any particular reason, so don't read anything into it. Let's say if Mike Vrabel grabbed Taylor Lewan's face mask on the sideline the way Jeremy Pruitt has maybe done for Tennessee a couple of times. Jimbo Fisher did it really poorly, I think, last year. You know, if he grabs Taylor Lewan's face mask,
I think Taylor can handle that.
And Taylor goes, yeah, man, I needed it.
Yeah.
You know, I was losing my cool, and he needed to get me in line, and I needed to tough it up, and he knew when to pull the right button and pull the right lever and push the right button. And we hear Taylor say that, I'd say, okay.
But he couldn't do that to Marcus.
I'd say whatever. And if he did it to Marcus and Marcus crumbles.
Yeah, you'd be like, okay.
I'd be like, well, you probably handled that incorrectly.
Absolutely.
You know, it doesn't mean you were abusive. It just means you didn't find the right button to push.
Yeah.
With that particular player. So, listen, this is not an easy thing that we're dealing with as a country, but we have to get away from, oh, everyone's just, oh, it's soft. People just go right to, we're just a bunch of softies and we're all soft and we're terrible. No, there is a positive element to what we're learning about human beings and how we have different mental approaches, and mental health is an issue. There was one guy that was one of these hockey players in this story was abused as a child. Mm-hmm. And this coach was using that slur towards him as an adult.
Yeah,
that's inappropriate. Yeah. That's wrong. You shouldn't be treating somebody like that.
Do you think that I'm going to ask you this question because
I
think it's a really good question.
We do have football to talk about eventually. We'll get off this very serious topic in the first hour and get into this into some football here in just a minute. But Derek's got a really important question for us, and we'll give you the Moments Piece Salon and Day Spa question as well, which will lighten the mood as well. We'll be right back. Morning Drive. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We'll get to the Tennessee Titans, as, again, they are one of the stories in the NFL right now, and so we'll get to the Tennessee Titans. We got, you know, the game last night with the Preds, a big win last night, 3-1 over the Sharks, but there's also this reckoning in the NHL that's going on. Jim Montgomery fired as the head coach of the Dallas Stars yesterday. I believe that's the third or fourth head coach that has either been fired or put on administrative leave. Again, I'm not going to go through all the details for all this stuff. The text line is open. 615-737-1025. Same thing on the phone lines. Drew from Pleasant View says the pay scale is slightly different in the military as well. Yeah, we mentioned that for sure. That's definitely an important point. Real quickly, before we get to Tennessee Titans and changing the mood and giving away a gift card to a salon and day spa so everyone can be pampered, you had one more question about this serious topic.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering because you have this, and you even talked about the on the youth level, the abuse that has happened and you know, for long periods of time, and they finally started to, you know, rectify everything and fix what was broken. I look at it. Can it be because when you look at, you know, some of the original teams, whether it's Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, teams like that, that were a part of this, a part of the first wave of teams, you know, to the NHL. They're all Canadian teams.
They're not all Canadian teams, but they're not all
of them. But
they're all northern markets.
Northern market teams.
I think Boston, Chicago, and New York Rangers are three of the original northern, six as well. Detroit, maybe.
And then you have a lot of these players that are coming from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they looked at it a little bit different. How do they treat their players as opposed to how we treat our players here?
Different societal rules?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Different cultural rules.
So could it be that?
I 100%... I would agree. There's also a...
Because there's a way they, you know, treat people in the north than they do in the south. Right, the way they treat people out west than they do on the east coast.
Wait, we treat people differently down here?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you talking about? 700 players roughly in the NHL, 30 of them are black. Mm-hmm. So some of this is tied to race as well and how... You know, it is a predominantly white sport with predominantly white coaches, mm-hmm. with predominantly white fans. And, you know, it is what it is.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean that there's not space and time for minorities to find room to grow in that sport. But their backgrounds are different. People mm-hmm. are different. Cultures are different. Countries are different. And rules of operation are sort of different across all these different places. And that leads to maybe not understanding each other as well.
Exactly.
And once you get into a locker room or live around people that are different than you, all of a sudden, it's real easy to understand different people. But until you do that, people don't understand always what's going on. And maybe that leads to these differences that, hey, one person doesn't view it as going too far in a coach-player situation, and somebody else views it as totally normal.
Exactly.
And there could be absolutely something that's cultural or racial, or, you know, people that are from Russia act differently than people that are from Canada, or people from Detroit act differently than people who are from Miami. And
exactly.
Like, it's just different. Yeah. And so I think, you know, bringing all those people together, that's what generally makes a locker room a great place.
Yeah.
Is so many different people from so many different backgrounds.
It can't cause, you know,
friction.
It can't cause problems. It can't cause misinterpretations of things.
All right. Enough of that. Very serious conversation. I do think it's an important one to have. But we'll move on and we'll talk about some Titans football here in just a minute. But we do have a very simple, very lighthearted, very easy question for you guys today. We did on Monday, we gave away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa for the worst Christmas gift received as an adult. Yesterday, we did what's the best way to get people out of your house after a party? Today, it's going to be very simple. Again, you have to tweet at 1025_MD. At 1025_MD, that's the Twitter account for Morning Drive, tweet us why your significant other, male or female, whatever, your significant other deserves to be pampered, to be treated, treat yourself, as Parks and Recs would say. Just tweet us, and you'll get we'll decide whoever has the best reason why their significant other deserves that $100 gift card to go get a little pedicure, a little manicure, a little treat. You know what I mean? Like a little back massage.
Something.
Little day of treating yourself, yeah. Right? So tweet us at 1025_MD why you believe in, you know, your significant other. Why do they deserve it?
Exactly.
Why do they deserve it? I'm sure there's some people that have some newborn children or, you know, some difficult times they're going through, whatever. Just let us know.
They just need a foot rub, back rub, you know.
Tell us why, and we'll pick the best one.
Massage the temples.
There you go. See, that's why I go to the hair. She would kill me. She's a stylist.
Yeah.
Not a
stylist.
You got to get the name right.
Yes.
There's a reason I go to her for the same. I get that head massage.
Yeah.
She cuts my hair, and then I get a head massage. It's the best. It is the best. All right. So, Tennessee Titans, a huge game, arguably one of the biggest games of the John Robinson era, if not the biggest game of the John Robinson era, coming up at home. I still am wondering, and I heard Darren and the guys talking about this yesterday, like what the crowd is going to look like at Nissan Stadium. I am fascinated by that. But I have a couple other questions I want to ask you guys about this Texans-Titans matchup. So let's get into that when we return. The offensive line and special teams. I want to ask you about those two things when we come back. Compare and contrast the Texans and the Titans. And could it be the reason the Titans make the playoffs or miss the playoffs. We'll get to that when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.